Hello and welcome to the Health Hacks Podcast, the podcast for high-performing professional females looking for practical ways to optimize all areas of their health and wellness. At Health Hacks, we understand that as a busy female, you wear numerous hats throughout your working week. You're trying to juggle it all, while also looking to carve out time to prioritize your own goals. It's challenging. It's therefore our mission to channel your energy into the areas that are going to help give you the biggest bang for your buck, to really make significant changes to your lifestyle in the most efficient way possible. So at the moment, if you feel as though you need more energy, you want to feel more productive to improve the quality of your sleep, to lower stress, to increase confidence, to show up better in both your personal and your professional relationships, this podcast is for you. If it's time you prioritize your health, learn to fuel your body, found time for exercise, and said goodbye to fad diets and inconsistent behaviors for good, this podcast is for you. If it's time for you to step into the shoes of the high performer you know you can be, this is the right podcast for you. Join me and my guests as we take you through the Health Hacks Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Health Hacks Podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you with us today. And we're going to be discussing nutrition. We're going to be discussing diet through the lens of supporting you if you have a fat loss goal specifically. So we have done episodes fairly recently about nutrition for performance, nutrition for professionals, really supporting you both in terms of body and mind. Today, I want to focus on you, and I'm speaking to you specifically if you have a weight loss goal. The most common goals that we hear are, Caroline, I want to lose some body fat. Caroline, I want to drop a few pounds, or I want to be more toned. Those are some of the goals that ladies come to us. And we've been releasing podcasts, and we have some coming up in the podcast schedule for 2024 that are focused around the emotional side of eating. So we had fabulous Dr. Adrienne Udine talking about emotional eating. We've done podcasts on binge eating, on improving relationships with food. And I noticed the trends with these podcasts. They are some of the most fastest listened to episodes, if that's the right way to phrase it. The audienceship on these podcasts is really high, and I understand that this is an area that a lot of individuals struggle with and are interested in. And as I say, we have some wonderful podcasts coming up that dive and expand more on this topic. With today's episode, I want to look at some of the practical things that we can start to do and adjustments that we can make in our diet to support the emotional side. So I'm going to focus today on the design of structures of eating, patterns of eating, design of specific meals and what that should look like. If you are someone who wants to drop body fat, but they want to do it in a sustainable and in an enjoyable way, dieting does not have to be miserable. And we really focus on this with our one-to-one clients in adopting patterns that work well for their lives, but also include foods that they love. And I know that sounds a little bit woo, and I know that's a lot of marketing. You can lose 10 pounds without having to give up any of your favorite foods. I know we're all used to that kind of marketing, but we can, to an extent, find a way of eating that works really, really well for us. And that's what I want to run you through today. As ever, if you are a listener of the podcast and you love what we do, the biggest way that you can show support for the show is to hit that subscribe or that follow button on, you're probably listening to me on either Apple or Spotify. If you hit that subscribe button, you never need to search for an episode of Health Hacks again. We will just magically appear in your podcast inbox every single week. And we do have some fantastic guests coming up, so I would highly recommend. And if you do enjoy the work that we do, perhaps you are a client of mine, perhaps we work together one-to-one, perhaps you are a long-time listener of the podcast, maybe there's someone in your life who you know, particularly in January as we are now, that who are looking to make positive changes to their health. If there is someone in your inner circle who you think these topics would be valuable to, you think the conversation or the coaching ethos that we have here, it would be beneficial to that individual, send them an episode of the podcast. It might not be this one. Maybe they're someone who's interested in sleep or stress or family-friendly nutrition. We had Sarah on. She was fabulous episode before Christmas about family-friendly nutrition. If there is a topic that you've discussed with someone close to you, and we have a podcast that would help, send it to them. Hopefully we can spread our message far and wide. We're now streaming in 26 countries worldwide. So it's an absolute pleasure to see the podcast growing and to see our audience growing too. So if you would like to support the show, those are the two ways. Either hit that follow or subscribe button or send to someone in your inner circle. If you would love to find out more about the coaching work that we do with either our one-to-one clients or our clients on the Lifestyle Project, scroll down on this episode into the show notes and you can hit the link to our website. And on the website, you'll find more information about the Lifestyle Project, as well as our one-to-one coaching services. The Lifestyle Project is our 14-day kickstart, a wonderful start for January if you are looking to get serious about your movement, your nutrition, making positive changes to your routines and your habits. The Lifestyle Project would be a great place to start. As I say, we've got a completely free 14-day trial of the Lifestyle Project. And as part of that program, you do get a 30-minute health diagnostic call with me. So it will be me who will be taking your call, but me who will be finding out more about you and your goals and ultimately helping you start the journey to get there. Okay, let's get into today's episode. I've just made myself the loveliest coffee that I realize it's not the smartest thing to do pre-hitting the record button, but here we are. Right, let's get into today's episode and looking at nutrition through the lens of fat loss. Okay, as I say, generally there are a few circumstances, well, ladies will come to us with a variety of goals, whether it is dropping a life-changing amount of body weight, whether it's shedding a few pounds after the holiday period, or whether it is creating a more toned physique. That's one of the words that we hear a lot. Irrespective of what your goal may be, this episode will be relevant to you. And I'm going to look at this as ever through the lens of a professional. So I'm speaking to you specifically if you have a weight loss goal, a fat loss goal, but you're also juggling a busy lifestyle. Perhaps you are working from home or in the office, your week is fairly sedentary. You are juggling family life, professional goals, all of the above. The busy females that we are, that we specialize in coaching, this is going to be the subject of today's episode. So when it comes to fat loss generally, we have been brought up with a series of narratives around dieting, that it's generally quite, it's difficult to do, it's miserable, we have to be restrictive. It's a case of pulling things out of the diet rather than adding them in a lot of the time. We're also taught frameworks of eating generally, and those can come either from childhood, from diet and culture, or your frameworks of eating might be based around your busy lifestyle. So you might, maybe in a past life, you were someone who enjoyed breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but as work demands have increased, as family life has gotten more hectic, you find yourself maybe, you know, shoveling a piece of toast into your mouth first thing in the morning, but then not eating again until the end of day. That's a fairly common one. So we all have a pattern of eating, the way that we choose to eat throughout the day that works with our lifestyle. And I believe based on you're listening to me on the Health Hacks podcast, we have an increasing awareness of what foods are healthier. You know, there's a lot of noise out there, whether some of that is just clever marketing. But I do believe, you know, we have a broad understanding of the things that we should be including in the diet in abundance, and perhaps the things that we might want to be mindful of the quantity that we consume. Most people can say X is healthier than Y, or I ate well today versus, you know, that day that the food that I consumed today wouldn't be conducive to my fat loss goal. So we generally do have those, that understanding. One of the most common phrases when I speak to ladies, generally before a client comes on board with us one-to-one, we'll have a series of conversations about where they're at. And we always do a deep dive into the individual's diet. I will monitor a couple of days worth of eating of the individual, of where they are at the moment. It's really important that I get a good understanding of what a typical few days in the life of you is, and it informs so much of our coaching approach. But one of the things that often comes up a lot of the time, actually, when I think about it, ladies will say to me, Caroline, I think my diet is pretty good. I think my diet is, I'm actually, that's not the area that I'm struggling with. I'm just not getting to where I want to go. And this is absolutely not a criticism. We can all make changes to our diet. But generally, when I then go a little bit deeper, strip the layers back a little bit, ask certain questions around the diet in the bigger picture, there are very obvious changes and tweaks that we can start to make. So, and I say this, there's nothing more frustrating than thinking you are doing all of the right things, thinking you're eating the foods that are going to help support your weight loss goal, and yet the scales don't move. In terms of, keeping momentum up and keeping you focused long term, I totally get it. It's a horrible, horrible place to be, which is why it's important for us to come in and really look at it and have an honest conversation about your diet. By this point in time, I have examined literally hundreds and hundreds of ladies' journals in terms of their food, hundreds and hundreds. And from those, I've been able to extract and pull out some key themes and common patterns that I see with ladies, particularly those who are looking to diet. So today I'm going to go through those common issues and how to adjust them. And then going to go through the framework that I recommend professionals try when it comes to nutrition. So we have a nutritional framework that works well for most people, and then how to adapt that around exercise. So whether you're someone who exercises first thing in the morning, maybe at lunchtime, maybe in the evening, how to adjust it around busy weekend plans, events, long weekends, those kind of things. And at the end, I'm going to run through some summary points. I think it's always nice to have some concluding and summary points for you to really take away and say, right, if I was to strip this back, am I hitting all of these markers? And actually, before I go through this list of subscribing there, we examine our ladies' diets, and there's absolutely no reason that you couldn't try this too. I think I've mentioned this on a previous recording, but we use a photo food diary. We've tried lots of different ways, from MyFitnessPal to writing out lists of food groups. But I found, particularly for my busy ladies, that photo food diaries are the most effective way to gather as much information as quickly as possible. So if you're listening to me on this podcast, I'm going to guess your phone is within arm's reach of you right now. It's probably within arm's reach of you all day, every day. And that's why we find this a really useful exercise to do. Because instead of writing out, oh, I had 100 grams of this and 50 grams, absolutely not, just take a photo of it. And my background's in design. I'm very visual by nature, but there's something so powerful about assembling these images and having a real stark view of what you consume in a day or a week if you choose to do it over an entire week. And bonus points if you can capture different days. I know many of our ladies are working a hybrid model, so some days in the office, some days working from home, travel days, etc. You can get a really good grasp of your diet if you can capture these different days. And like I say, the visual is really, really powerful. So if you want to do that for a couple of days, that might be a really good place to start, and then come back to this list and this that I'm going to run through and see how many apply to you. So that would be a good place to begin in analyzing your current diet. What we think we consume and what we actually consume are sometimes very, very different, particularly if you're tracking everything. So the glasses of wine in the evening, or the individual chocolates or sweet, whatever you may be having. But it's generally a bit of an eye opener, I have to say. But there are some common issues that pop out, and I'm going to run through these in no particular order, but I have structured them in this way, and you could use this as a checklist. So how would you rate yourself out of 10 for each of these headings? And it'll give you a good idea of what you could start to work on fairly quickly. And but the common issues that we do see when ladies are trying to support a fat loss goal and eat in line with that goal, the first one is definitely protein intake. So dieting by nature has this connotation of restriction, has this connotation of taking things out of the diet, pulling back, reducing. The one thing that we should not be reducing in our diet is protein intake. So generally speaking, we're looking for 3 servings of protein. 4 is gold standard, 3 to 4 servings of protein per day. And when we're looking at protein, that can be animal-based produce, it can be plant-based, whatever is in line with your nutritional values, but 3 to 4 servings of protein. And you have various opportunities to get that into the diet. I mean, you can make it really, really easy for yourself and aim for a serving of protein with breakfast, lunch, dinner, and a snack throughout the day. I like to start my day with oats, with a scoop of protein powder in it. I like something along the lines of an omelette, so whole eggs in the omelette, not just the egg whites. An omelette for lunch, something like a protein-based yogurt as a snack, and then an animal-based piece of protein for the evening meal. That's just how I structure my day, but 3 to 4 servings of protein every single day in the diet, and making sure. A lot of the time, when it comes to protein, there's still this misconception that it causes, our bulking, and it's associated with, getting big in the gym. Absolutely not at all. Protein, because of its thermic effect, which means how our body digests the protein that we consume, it's harder work for our body to digest protein, and it takes more energy for us to do it. It's also more satiating, so you're getting bigger bang for your buck in terms of feeling fuller for longer with protein than you are with any of the other, with carbohydrates or with your fat sources as well. So making sure that you're getting enough protein in the diet is essential, and particularly if you are exercising, protein plays a key role in that recovery of that exercise. So making sure that you're actually getting the most from the work that you're doing in your exercise sessions, you're going to need protein, specifically the amino acids in our protein, to help in that repair and that recovery, and to help you build that lean muscle tissue. We talked about this before on previous episodes, but the aim of the game really is to create as much lean muscle tissue as we can while stripping away body fat. That's what creates that toned physique. That's what keeps us metabolically healthy. That's what protects our bones. That's what protects everything as we age. We want to make sure that that lean muscle mass is the thing that we're helping to grow and maintain. So protein is the number one with that. Please make sure that you're getting 3 to 4 servings of protein, particularly if you are dieting, if you're looking to drop body fat. The next one on the list is color, and I'm talking specifically about natural sources of color, so your fruits and your vegetables, which, when we are looking more and more at our photo food diaries, or we're looking more at our meals, I'm seeing more beige plates in the Western diet. Definitely, definitely. And the thing with this is, we spoke about this on the podcast with Sam as well as with Meg, there is the health side of things. So if you are someone who is consistently getting ill, sick throughout the winter months, particularly, color, the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients within the plant sources that we're discussing here, those are your secret weapons when it comes to bolstering yourself and creating a great creating great immunity. The other side of it, Meg touched on this, was the diversity of the plants that we consume are really favorable to create a great gut microbiome. So really helping support us from the inside out. So there's color through the lens of health, absolutely. And if that's the only reason that you add more fruits and veggies into your diet, one well worth doing that. If, however, your goal is fat loss, color is your secret weapon, and you're not utilizing this enough potentially to support your fat loss goals. So when you think about your fruits and your veggies, these are a wonderful way to bulk up our plates. If you've ever heard me go on and on and on about food volume, this is what I'm talking about. So being able to bulk up our plates with what we call low calorie density foods. So foods that are voluminous in nature but low in calorie. Now, what that does from a fat loss perspective is, psychologically, if I'm looking down at a plate that is enticing, exciting, it's full of colors and textures and flavors, that to me psychologically is a much more inviting plate to be looking at, rather than, imagine your traditional diet, chicken breast and some lettuce. That is a plate that, looking down upon it, it feels like you're dieting. Whereas if we can inject more of this low calorie density foods into the plate, we can create larger plates, as I say, are more psychologically inviting, but also physiologically, it takes us a longer time to eat these meals, to chew. There's lots more fiber in there. They're taking up more space in the in our stomach cavity. It's a longer time for us to digest. All of these things are really, really favorable if fat loss is your goal. So if you are looking to drop body fat, a lot of the times I'll suggest to my ladies, try adding more into your meals. Try adding more veggies, more salad, more things for you to chew on, more colors and textures and flavors in there that get you excited about the next meal. So color, both from a health perspective and from a fat loss, and from the fat loss side, an absolute must. For my ladies, I recommend three different veggies for lunches and dinners as a minimum, and bonus points if you can make those all different colors. Me, I tend to make life easy as it can be, by, particularly in the winter months, creating for veggies, doing almost big roast trays of veggies. So having these to hand and doing them in batches. So there are always veggies to be added to meals very, very quickly, or always a salad prepared that can be quickly, you know, a handful, throw it down and construct a meal from there. Or particularly at this time of year, soups are another really good way to be getting lots of veggies into the system. The reason I prefer the salads and the kind of roasted veggies is because of that chewing element. So there is that slowing down the consumption, the chewing, the fiber, etc. I find that works really well for me personally, but just getting more color into your diet would be advantageous if you are looking to drop body fat. The next one is portion sizes and the proportion on our plates. So particularly for clients who have busy family lives, or perhaps their partner does the cooking in the house, or they don't have as much say about the foods that they consume, they're trying to keep everyone in the family happy, they can sometimes find that their portion sizes are the only thing that they have control over. And making sure that your portion sizes are in line with your goals. Portion sizes can mean the total volume of food on the plate. That's one side of it, but also the proportion of food groups within your plate. So sometimes I will see ladies will create wonderful plates, great portion sizes, overall size for their goals, but the proportion of the food groups within the plate is slightly off. So for example, we use the plate construction method with our clients. So half a plate of vegetables, small palm-sized amount of protein, fist measure of carbohydrates, thumb-sized fat source. What we typically find is that the proportion of those food groups is slightly off. It tends to be, if I'm honest, half a plate of carbohydrate, a considered vegetable or two, and maybe a protein source in there. But it tends to be off in that way. If you can adjust the proportion, so generally increase the amount of veggies, color we've just discussed, reduce the carbohydrates, and make sure that the protein on your plate is of a good size. Generally, if you've got more protein on your plate than carbs, you're doing a wonderful job to support fat loss. But so it's not just the portion size of the overall plate, but the proportion. Okay. The next one, whole food sources. So if you are looking to drop body fat, if you are looking to help your digestion, if you are looking to stay fuller for longer, if you are looking to regulate your blood glucose over the span of the day, keep energy nice and stable, avoid binge eating, emotional eating, stress eating, it can really, really help to keep the majority of your diet, 80, 90% of your diet, in whole food sources as opposed to processed. If you think about a scale, so on one side of the scale, we have whole foods, and that is food in its very, very simplest form, straight out of the ground, straight off the tree, lean cuts of meat. It is an egg, a banana, a chicken breast. Nothing else has happened to that food. On the other side of the spectrum, we have ultra processed foods. So those would be things in a packet with an ingredients list, your crisps, your jelly sweets, your cereal bars, your anything that comes in a packet with a long ingredients list is processed or ultra processed on the scale. And generally, we want to be consuming more of our foods in whole food sources rather than processed. The reason being, when you go down the route of processed, those ingredient lists, we don't always have a good understanding of what those are and the effect that they'll have on our body. Processed foods tend to include those extra ingredients, extra additives, flavors, sugars, fats, everything that goes along with that. The reason that a food can last a long time on a shelf means that something has been added to it to allow it to do that. And that doesn't always mean that it digests well with our bodies. So try and keep your diet in as much the form of whole foods as possible. The next one, prioritizing meals over snacks. Mentioned this right at the start, particularly as life gets busy, we tend to put eating down the list of priorities. And I see this a lot with my clients who will grab something first thing in the morning. They might sit at a desk all day, work through lunch, and then not eat anything until evening. Or they'll graze throughout the day. So they'll pick up things at their desk while looking at a screen. And if this sounds familiar, I'm speaking to you, instead of having their calories and their energy coming from real meals. If you are looking to drop body fat, make the time to eat. Prioritize real meals, get all of your energy from real foods in real meals rather than snacking throughout the day and this grazing culture. When we graze, particularly when we're doing it at a desk, we're not engaging with the food that we're eating. We're probably working at the same time. We're not stopping. We're not having any connection with the food that we're consuming. And generally, these snacking options tend to be along the processed lines. And we've just talked about the difference between whole and processed food options. So getting your energy from real food in real meals, and how you do that can be totally up to you. You might not be a breakfast fan, and that's fine. Some of my clients don't consume breakfast. I don't have an issue with that. But making sure that you are making the time to contribute to your health. The other thing that meals will tend to do in a better way than snacks is keep your energy levels stable, because you're able to digest your food, you're eating a well-balanced meal. So if you are including a protein source, if you are including veggies, if you are including a healthy fat source in there, it's going to be keep your energy levels much more stable, and your work performance will improve as a consequence. Particularly relevant if you are someone who experiences that 3-4 p.m. slump throughout the afternoon, that might be because you are simply not consuming enough good quality calories, good quality energy throughout the day to help support you cognitively. Your brain is using glucose as its favorite form of energy, but it's using energy all day. And particularly if you're relying on high executive function, you've got a really cognitively demanding day, you need to energize and make sure that you are providing your brain with energy to support that. So prioritize meals over snacks. Please, that's not to say snacks don't play a role. That's not to say that snacks should be avoided, but make sure that you are eating well-rounded meals. Maybe a secondary to this, but another part is meal frequency. So make sure that you're eating regularly enough. Calories, energy, distribution should be fairly even throughout the day. Now, I know that this is slightly goes against the grain of what has been ingrained in us traditionally. So I, for example, was brought up that yes, we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but typically we had a small breakfast, medium-sized lunch, big dinner at the end of the day. If you are looking to, as I say, keep those energy levels stable and support fat loss, I generally recommend my ladies try and spread their calories a little bit more evenly throughout the day. And some of my ladies will actually do the complete opposite. So they'll have their largest meal with breakfast, a medium-sized lunchtime meal, and a small evening meal, depending on the exercise and their energy demands. But your meal frequency is really, really important. So making sure that you're eating regularly enough, that there aren't huge big gaps between your meals. The one that tends to catch people out is, say you have a traditional lunchtime of around about 12 or 1 p.m. and then you don't consume your evening meal until around 7, 8, maybe even 9 p.m. If that sounds familiar to you, that's something that we'd like to look at and address, so that you're not going these huge spans of the day without any energy, and definitely not having this big meal in the evening and then going, so if you're like me, I tend to have my evening meal, and then that pretty much work should be finished by that point. So that pretty much signals the end of the day. You know, it might be then sitting down on the sofa, doing some bits around the house, but it's quite a calm atmosphere thereafter. If you're having your biggest intake of calories throughout the day, and then you're going and sitting on the sofa or going straight to bed, your digestion is not going to thank you for that. So it might be worth considering adjusting. The next one is weekend behaviors. So our body's favorite thing is consistency, predictability. And what can often happen is that we have a certain way of eating Monday to Thursday or Monday to Friday, and then a completely different series of foods that we eat or timing that we eat or things that we do come the weekend. And I totally see how that can be easy to fall into that trap of having almost one diet for a weekday and another at weekends. As much as possible, try and keep as much consistency over a 7-day period as possible. The foods that work well for you, we want to make sure that we are allowing the body and helping the body to digest over an entire 7 days. And also, if dieting is the goal, of dropping body fat is the goal, what we don't want is for the weekend to basically negate or undo the deficit that you might be able to create Monday to Friday. If you work hard for, say, 5 days, then you get to the weekend and you totally switch up the foods that you're eating higher calorie density foods, you're eating bigger meals, etc., that can totally negate that deficit that you spent 5 days creating. So particularly if you are looking to drop body fat, making some smart swaps at the weekend. So, you know, going out for brunch, but perhaps ordering the omelette with extra veggies. Perhaps meeting a friend for coffee, but going for getting the coffee without the cake, for example. Maybe you are going out for dinner with friends. Maybe you, 4-2 method is something that I love. So if starter, main, dessert, alcohol are the four components of a meal, pick two of them. While you're in a fat loss phase, you may choose to make these smart swaps and these small tweaks at the weekends, just until you get down to your goal body weight. And like I say, you can end up speeding up the process by not undoing that work at weekends. So just watch that your weekend behavior is in line with your goals. What I tend to find ladies do is that they will eat less on weekends throughout the day. So you know what it's like, you're running errands, you're picking things up, you're meeting people that you wouldn't have time to at any other point in the week, and then you can go the whole day and think, oh my goodness, I've not eaten, and then someone says, shall we order a takeaway, and then you over and consume in that evening meal. So just watch with those weekend behaviors. So the last one, creating a calorie deficit. Ultimately, if you are looking to drop body fat, you are going to need to support negative energy balance across the week. So by that, I mean over the span of 7 days, over the span of a month, you are going to need to be consuming less than you are expending. So creating that calorie deficit is important. I think the reason I put this at the end here is that it's not as simple as energy in versus energy out. I think we've all kind of parked that principle in that it does really matter the types of food that you're consuming as well. But ultimately, you do need to be consuming less than you are expending if you want to drop body fat consistently over a period of time. So the reason I put this in as a separate heading is it's really important that it doesn't matter what kind of deficit you are trying to create, whether you're looking to, you know, only go into a small deficit so that your weight loss is nice and sustainable, or whether you're looking to bridge that gap so that your weight loss is actually faster. You can do it either way. It's just about doing it in the smartest way possible and what works for you. I wouldn't recommend, for example, someone who's got a really stressful time coming up at work, big deadlines in place, that they drastically cut their intake down. We can make certain adjustments around that. You can still drop body fat, but I wouldn't compromise your cognitive performance or your emotional stability around about that time. So it shouldn't be miserable, and you shouldn't be starving, and you shouldn't feel, you know, like your temper is rising or you're hangry, but you will need to create a caloric deficit if you want to drop body fat. There are some other issues that prop up with dieting that are slightly more specific to individuals. So I'm not going to go too much into them, but it might be worth noting here. If you travel a lot, making sure that you've got a specific pattern of eating or of food groups that you use when you're traveling can really help. What you don't want is, particularly if you're someone who travels a lot for work or pleasure, that every time that you travel, it sets you back. That's not what we want at all. We also want to make sure that we are supporting recovery. So again, if you're someone who, in this instance, you are exercising really, really intensely, maybe you have an event coming up, triathlon, marathon, maybe any kind of event that demands that you exercise more than, say, a typical individual, and then you want to make sure that your diet is supporting that recovery. You can only train as hard as you can recover, so you need to make sure that that's in check. Things like liquid calories. So another thing that I see ladies do a lot, and it goes in line with the making sure that you are prioritizing meals, is that sometimes ladies will spend their day running on liquid calories, running on coffee. So they'll drink loads and loads of coffee throughout the day, thinking, you know what, this flat white or this latte will sustain me for a little bit, and then it comes back to bite them at the end of the day. That's something that we want to avoid. Alcohol falls into the same line as well. So making sure that alcohol isn't undoing your progress. Not directly related to nutrition or diet per se, but really being in tune with the impacts of both stress and sleep on eating. So sometimes it can swing both ways, and it'll depend on the individual, but sometimes if stress goes up, appetite can either go up too, or it can be completely suppressed. I see that quite often. Same with sleep. So sometimes with sleep, new mums will have experienced this particularly. When sleep quality goes down, or you're being woken frequently throughout the night, your appetite will end up either ramping up, and what you're typically looking for are those high sugar hits throughout the next day. Appetite will either go right up, or again, it will be completely suppressed. So just being in line with, right, if I have a fat loss goal, how are my stress levels at the moment? How am I sleeping at the moment? If neither of those are where they should be, the success of your diet can be compromised. So it's one of those things that if someone is going through a really, really particularly stressful time, sometimes we will take a slight pause or a slight halt on pushing forward with fat loss until we resolve the sleep, until we resolve the stress management, because your body needs to be in the right position, in the right place, to facilitate fat loss. And a stressed body is not going to allow for that. An underslept body and mind is not going to help facilitate fat loss. So those are the kind of, I think Wade talked about this in the podcast on leadership health, thinking about stress and sleep as the gatekeepers. So making sure that they're in place, and then we can look at nutrition. So I did say I was going to go through the framework that I use for professionals. Now, caveat to this, if we're working together and we're doing something different, there's a reason for this. Caveat, if you have a particular pattern of eating that you are using at the moment that's working for you, double down on that. This framework is one that I have used for a lot of women. However, it is not the only way to drop body fat. It's just one that I have found has worked for many, many different women, and it might be worth trying if you are really struggling to support fat loss because of a busy job. Okay, so the structure of eating that I use with some of my ladies, again, big, big caveat, but some of my ladies, is making sure that we are consuming a breakfast, a lunch, and an evening meal, as well as a snack. Now, for my ladies, I typically suggest that they try pushing breakfast to slightly later into the morning. So not getting up and having breakfast at, say, 6, 7, even 8 a.m. Trying to push the breakfast more to 10, 10:30, 11 a.m. Work allowing, I totally get that. Some people will have meetings and back to back, and the morning is their busy time. I absolutely get it. But this is a framework that I've used that has worked very, very well. So I feel free to adapt it, but pushing that breakfast slightly later into the morning and making sure with that breakfast that you are getting a serving of protein. So when you get up first thing in the morning, absolutely fine to hydrate. Make sure you are hydrating. Maybe a coffee, a tea, whatever is your preference in the morning, absolutely fine. But then not having that breakfast to slightly later and getting that serving of protein in there. For me, I like something like a protein oat. What did I, although this week had a lovely protein pancake, which seemed quite indulgent, but it was literally 5 minutes and was absolutely delicious. But making sure that you get that serving of protein in there, you might have something like a Greek yogurt, you might like a scrambled egg, you might have whatever works for you and your setup. I then do advocate getting in a lunch. And if we've had breakfast around, say, the 10:30, 11 mark, we can generally push that lunch a little bit later into the afternoon. Again, work permitting, really, really important that you're working with what are you eating in line with your lifestyle and your schedule. But I find pushing that lunch slightly later into the afternoon, so more like a realistically a 1:30, 2 p.m. if you can get away with that, rather than bang on 12, works really, really well. I find personally that it helps me avoid that mid-afternoon slump, pushing the meals slightly later. Also allows me to enjoy the kind of cognitive, feel like I'm very, very alert first thing in the morning when I've not consumed anything. So pushing that lunch slightly later, keeping the lunch really well balanced. So lots of greens in there. Aim for more protein in that lunch meal than a carbohydrate. And if you are going to consume a carbohydrate for that lunch meal, make sure that it's a slow releasing carb. So something like a brown rice or a whole grain pasta or a sweet potato or a white potato, something that is smaller than your protein source, but is slow releasing. Avoid the classic meal deal. So the crisps, the sandwich, and the snack with the Diet Coke. Think of what you're consuming in that lunch meal as fuel for the afternoon. And exactly, you know, we run on the foods or the quality of the foods that we consume. So really making sure that lunch is well balanced. I also will go for something on a lunch meal like an omelette if I'm at home, can work really well with loads and loads of greens in there, and potentially maybe something on the side like a piece of whole grain bread or something like that. For the PM snack, I do actually recommend getting a snack in there in mid-afternoon, and I actually use this as an opportunity to get another serving of protein in there, plus combating that 3, 4 p.m. slump, plus bridging the gap between lunch and that evening meal. So that PM snack, something like a Greek yogurt with some berries, maybe a scoop of protein powder in there as well, if I'm really trying to boost that number up, something like that to, as I say, keep my energy levels nice and stable. And then the evening meal, try not to eat it too late and keep it super, super balanced. I love the plate construction method for all evening meals. So half a plate of veg, small palm-sized amount of protein, maybe a carbohydrate in there, depending. So that's generally what I recommend ladies try if they're really not sure where to start when it comes to nutrition. Push the breakfast, 10:30 to 11, lunch more around the kind of 1:32 mark, PM snack around about 3:34, and then an evening meal, ideally around about the 7 p.m. mark would be perfect, depending on when you go to bed. And then you can adapt this. So if you are someone who, you know, you wake up and you have an almost, I have had ladies say, "Caroline, I actually feel quite nauseous in the morning until I eat something," try having a handful of nuts or something. Dr. Narina was talking to us about improving your sleep, and she recommended that ladies get a fat source in first thing in the morning. So almonds, walnuts, something in the system first thing to tide you over. And if you were going to exercise in the morning, you might choose to bring that breakfast slightly earlier. So if you're someone who gets up in the exercise first thing, that's 6 a.m., 7 a.m., you might choose to bring that breakfast slightly earlier to refuel from that session. If you're someone who trains in the evening, you would look to do that between your PM snack and your evening meal. So you're using the evening meal as recovery. In the weekend, I don't mind moving that model to be more two meals and one snack at the weekend. So you might have more like a brunchy lunch situation at maybe 11, 12-ish, then a PM snack so that we're bridging that gap again, and then an evening meal again, not too late. And if you have an event on in the evening, so maybe a networking event, social event, meal out, etc., you might restructure that ever so slightly so that you are I like to keep my lunch meal very, very light so that I am maybe saving up some calories, some energy for an evening meal, maybe out where the ingredients might be a little bit more indulgent than I might have at home. So what I would tend to do is to keep the breakfast and the lunch very, very light on that day. Only protein and greens with the lunch meal. I would still have the PM snack. I would actually have something light to eat before I go out for dinner because that really helps in curbing cravings and helps mitigate that overconsumption. Have you ever gone out for a dinner when you've been absolutely ravenous and as soon as you see the bread basket, you go, "Oh my goodness," and you have more than you would normally. Having something small and protein based before you go out for dinner can really help. Avoid that frantic dash to the bread basket. So in summary, realize I've gone through some points here. We covered protein intake, color, both portion sizes, but also the proportion of food groups on your plate. Next was whole food sources, prioritizing meals over snacks, meal frequency, weekend behaviors, and making sure that you're creating a calorie deficit. That's my checklist if you are looking to support fat loss in a sustainable and healthy way, in an enjoyable way. So if you are not, if you'd like to find out a little bit more about any of those, if there's a couple that are jumping out to you that you think, yeah, Caroline, when I review that, I'm not doing the color, I'm not eating as many whole food sources as I would hope. And I actually, yeah, if I'm honest with myself, I'm noting that the weekends are probably throwing me off. If that sounds like you, get in touch and let's speak about your individual goals, how much body fat you are looking to lose by whatever time, and what your biggest barriers are at the moment. We can have a little brainstorm as to how you can specifically, we can jump in and put specific strategies in place to help you in the areas that you feel need a little bit more work. But in summary, if you want to adjust your diet to support fat loss, very, very simply, eat more real food, whole foods. Keep meals balanced. If you're not sure where to start with the plate construction method. Don't go too long without eating, particularly if you're someone who feels that emotional eating, stress eating, binge eating is something that happens to them. And keep the structure and pattern of eating the same for as much of the time as you can. So try and eat the same way for the majority of the time. Try these things and you will get the results. And if you feel as though a diet to you has always been restrictive, has always felt uncomfortable, unhappy, you dread doing it, you've never found a successful way of dieting long term. You diet for a period of time. Once you stop, you feel yourself regaining weight, and then you choose to diet again, and it feels almost like that yo-yo or that roller coaster. That doesn't have to be the case. We've supported women to lose a staggering amount of weight in 20 kilos in 6 months is some of the results that we've gotten with our ladies, and they keep that weight off. That's the key, is not dieting and then regaining it. It's actually doing it this in a sustainable way so that you achieve the results, but you also keep them long term, which is ultimately where we want you to be. So I think that's more than enough for me for this week. I hope this episode has been useful to you, particularly if you are embarking on a fat loss journey this January, or perhaps January is a little bit hectic and your health is going to be a focus of yours February onwards. Hopefully you've listened to this at just the right time. So as ever, if you have enjoyed this episode of the podcast, if you could either hit the follow or the subscribe button on your chosen podcast platform, it would be sincerely appreciated. Or send it over to a friend that you know, maybe you're embarking on this journey together. Maybe you've both said, right, in February, we are going to drop a couple of pounds. We're going to exercise together. We're going to keep each other accountable. Maybe this is just the thing that would help kickstart you both. Maybe it'll be a really good tool for a bit of discussion and the changes that you want to make. So if that is the case, do send it over to them. Obviously, our goal is to spread our message on Health Hacks as far and wide as we possibly can. We've got some incredible guests coming up in 2024, and I'm really looking forward to the speakers. Actually, mostly ladies. For the next few weeks, actually, which was not by by design. We're hosting a group of wonderful women over the next 2 weeks. I look forward to bringing you those episodes. And like I say, in preparation for some of those episodes that are around the emotional side of eating and building relationship with food, I thought this much more practical podcast would be of value. If it has, you either had a penny drop moment, or you want to find out a little bit more about the themes that I've discussed today, or you want to find out how these themes are specifically applicable to you and your story and your journey and your lifestyle, get in touch. I'd love to find out more about you. If you'd like to book a discovery call with me, you can do so in the show notes below. That link is always there. Pick a time that works for you and we can jump on and find out more about you. Okay. Super informal. It's just a chat and a chance for me to offer some value to you there and then on that call. I hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for joining me as ever, and we'll see you next week on the Health Hacks podcast.